Thank you, Ben, for reading our scripture this morning for us. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners or cynicism is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. It was my senior year of high school. And like many seniors, I caught the senioritis. And in case you don't know, the symptoms of senioritis are an itchiness to be done with school, sudden drowsiness when given a lot of homework, and a fever to move on to something bigger and different. By the way, this has been true for people who are ready to retire or moving jobs as well. But when I learned that my favorite teacher was offering a new class to 12th graders only, I was miraculously healed and signed up, not even knowing what I was getting myself into. That class was titled Contemporary Issues, where each week we began with a relevant issue that was being debated in society. So climate change and gender discrimination, healthcare, affirmative action, immigration, so on and so forth, which we talk about a lot today still, don't we? But then we would look at that issue from all sorts of different angles, angles I would never have seen before. We all began, of course, with our initial thoughts, which is where we are formed most by the news or the opinions of our parents, and then we engaged sources that took us beyond our circle to people most affected by that issue in real life. And at the end of interrogating the issue, knowing the pros and the cons, the fact-finding, we would engage in a large class dialogue where, in the teacher's words, it's not about winning or losing, but it's about understanding and seeing another perspective. I often wonder, in these divided times, whether we have forgotten about the importance of talking to each other and really listening, really experiencing one another and where we are at. And for Christians, the many ways that God shows up around us. Out of all the issues we talked about that semester, our unit on poverty has stayed with me. We began with our initial reactions to poverty, which viewpoints varied considerably from people need to only work harder and they wouldn't be poor, or the reality that people have to overcome in life different obstacles like their health or parents or lack of opportunities. And others pointed out that we just don't start on the same level playing field. And I learned a lot just by sitting and listening. But then our teacher challenged us to dig just a little bit deeper, and he had us read the book Nickel and Dimed, which followed journalist Barbara Ehrenreich as she tried to understand the deeper issues of poverty by changing her way of life to match the conditions of those who are in the working poor in the U.S. She moved around the country. She worked as a waitress, a nursing home assistant, at Walmart as a salesperson to discover for herself the many roadblocks the working poor have to endure in order to simply keep a roof over their head. Now, digging deeper still, our teacher challenged us by taking us on a field trip to a preschool in inner city Akron. And there we listened to stories from teachers and from parents about what they have gone through and the impact it would have on their kids' lives. So I listened, I heard the stories, and began to see the world differently than when I first began. I believe God gives us these opportunities to understand others and what they are going through. If we are open to it, God reveals God's work in others that we meet, especially those we may consider to be outsiders or misfits. So I invite you to think about those people or those places you have traveled that have gifted you with a new perspective, a different way of seeing the world, and perhaps how you witness God's journey within them. Before we get to our scripture lesson today in Mark, before this, the disciples have been on a similar journey. Jesus is teaching the first century Palestinian class on contemporary issues, what he may have called it intro to God's kingdom or something like that, maybe more alliteration. But some of their issues were healthcare, immigration, gender discrimination, which should make us pause a little bit. And the class filled up quickly. Simon and his brother Andrew signed up without really knowing the curriculum, but they just liked the teacher, which I could understand. And then James and John followed suit, and by chapter 3, 12 disciples are fully enrolled, following Jesus, listening to his teachings, witnessing miracles and healings, growing in their understanding of those in their community. And so Jesus, a good teacher, engages them in the community, takes them on field trips. And so they observed Jesus as he interacted with a man who had a withered hand in Mark chapter 3. Perhaps as the man spoke with Jesus, the disciples overheard this condition and how it affected the man's life. Because such an injury in an agricultural society would have greatly limited what he was able to do. Most likely he was a farmer who grew his crops to feed his family, and any of the leftovers would be taken to market to bargain for other items. But a withered hand may have prevented or limited what he could do for his family. And so after Jesus gives him the medical treatment he needs, not only is the man's hand restored, but he is then able to fully provide for his family and contribute to the community. Maybe the disciples, having never had such a condition themselves, began noticing those around them with different abilities. The disciples also witnessed a woman who described herself as someone having 12 years of hemorrhages. Having never considered the ways society forced women with such a condition to the margins, some of the disciples may have been shocked to hear for the first time that such a condition as hers would often exclude her from the marketplace, from social gatherings, even religious gatherings. She was ostracized in her own community by her health. So they watched when Jesus healed her, where not only her body was healed, but she was able to freely go places that for 12 years were strictly forbidden. The disciples began not only to talk about the kingdom and use the right words, but they saw how to live it, how to embody Christ's ministry. One after another, they witness God showing up in the lives of everyone they meet, ordinary people, and especially among the poor and the outcasts. The disciples' task, which is our task, a task of faithfulness, is to remain open, to keep a wide lens, to capture all the ways God is showing up around us. No, neither the disciples or us get it 100% right all the time, and we don't know where God is going to lead us next. There are moments when we are frustrated. There are times where it's difficult for us to let go of previously held beliefs or thoughts, but we can trust that God is leading us somewhere where God can use us. Throughout their journey with Jesus, the disciples are preparing themselves. They are deepening their understanding of God's ways. And all is going well. And then they pull into Nazareth. And they watch as Jesus encounters his hometown. In Mark, we really don't know what Jesus is preaching here. There is nothing written about his words, but we really don't need them. Because everything Jesus did was drawing people into a way of life that was lived for the well-being of others. Which is why Jesus always went to the margins first. Because once you can see in the margins, you can see everywhere. So whatever he says, they take a great offense to his ideas, his words, and his challenge to love their neighbor as themselves. And there were even some in the synagogue who go one step further. And they remind the crowd that Jesus' family is here with us. Jesus' mother and brothers and sisters. But wait, where's Jesus' father? Jesus doesn't know his real dad, and those in the community know that. This would have been taken as an insult to Jesus, meant to prove he is not worthy, that his words, that his challenge should not be taken seriously. But here's the thing, and you might find this true in your own lives. Often those who never leave home, which is a way of saying never get out of their comfort zone, or in essence never take the journey to drop their nets and follow a deeper understanding of those around them, don't possess the maturity to understand the true meaning of the gospel. A good news that truly sets people free. And I'm afraid there are many Christians that identify more with those in Nazareth than Christ or one of the disciples. And so the disciples, they watch Jesus, their beloved teacher, deal with this rejection and nasty shouts meant to hurt instead of heal, to break instead of bind. And they observe, how will he respond to this? And I can't help but think about all those Facebook posts, the tweets, the name calling that has gone on, especially these past 5 years. Families arguing about politics, about the direction of our country. I think about the conversations around Me Too movement, about transgendered rights, Black Lives Matter, and climate justice. And we have all heard spoken or have said ourselves, they believe what? How could they possibly believe that? And it may be easier to just say, nothing at all, to keep the peace. Although we may have to think about our silence and how that means no peace for certain people. In Nazareth, Jesus shows the disciple through his public witness that the gospel is risky, and it often puts our relationships, those close to us, in a little bit of confrontation. But notice Jesus does not hurl insults back. Jesus does not retweet and seek to shame others. No, Jesus is resilient in the gospel. He enters into dialogue with those who are willing to be open and to share. He meets everyone where they are at, knowing only they can make the decision to grow in their understanding. And while he can't do as much as he would like to do in Nazareth because of their disbelief and unopenness, Scripture says Jesus does something. He is able to heal a few sick people. And someone that day experienced God's healing grace in their lives. Someone in the midst of confrontation and political turmoil experienced heaven on earth. And Jesus taught his disciples two important lessons that they will take with them on their mission, and two lessons that we take with us. First, trust your own journey with Christ. Trust the ways God has taken you deeper and deeper into understanding God's ways in the world, because God has prepared you with the necessary tools to heal and to bind, to connect and unite and to transform our world, even if it's just our little corner of the world. Trust your own journey and be open to the journey yet to come. Second is this. Not everyone says yes to the journey of walking with Christ. Not everyone is concerned with the well-being of their neighbor. In essence, they chose to keep on fishing. So we should not be surprised when others hear calls of love and justice and return it with insults meant to wound. Jesus demonstrates that we are all on our own journey, and the mission is simply not to stay in the house anymore. It's to get out. And if those who are unwilling to grow, Jesus tells them to shake off the dust and move on, trusting that God is ultimately the one that is walking with that person. So if we feel rejected in our work, so was Jesus. Are we treated with contempt for what we believe and stand for? Jesus knows what that feels like too. If we seem to fail now, should we be discouraged? No. So may you trust God and let God guide your feet. May you trust your journey of faith, walking with Jesus, open to and witnessing God's possibilities. And may you find hope in the really difficult days, resilience in living the good news with all those you meet. May it be so. Amen. Amen.